Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the League of Champions podcast.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we've got a heavyweight matchup of the world, standing at 6'2", 6'4", if you count his medium-sized afro, Michael Duct Tape on the Jewelry Crabtree, squaring off against a man whose name rhymes with Gimme That Chain, Aqib Talib.
And both got in a fight.
And both got suspended.
For two games until today.
Just now we heard.
It's only one game.
One game suspension.
And welcome back, everyone. Another week of fantasy football has passed, and we are on the verge, if not already now involved, in fantasy football playoffs. Things are getting intense.
Yes. Equally as intense is my name. Jory David Wilson, protector of all that's good. And you, Raz, are Raz, the commish.
It's kind of straightforward.
Unfortunately, we don't have Michael Sacco.
We don't. He's under the weather today, but he'll be back.
He has the runs.
Yeah, he does. But we're going to move on and, you know, Mike, get well. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. Hey, if you're a Crabtree owner, what do you do? I'm a Crabtree owner. Guess what I'm going to do?
Hold him.
Yeah, you're going to hold him. We start the playoffs after this week. Raz, you in? Are you in the playoffs?
In my league, our league, it is coming down to the wire. I had a big win. I also had Julio Jones and Antonio Brown on my team.
And no one else.
And no one else, and it didn't matter.
And he traded his entire team for both.
How about Julio? Just real quick to talk Julio. This is like a thing that happens. He's frustrating for most of the year. I mean, this year was a down year, I think we could say. And then he has the one game where he just goes Julio crazy.
The game of all games.
And man, he went nuts.
I would say that he has been disappointing if you're a Julio owner all year. But he hasn't been disappointing in years past. But he does have a tendency to go El Prosciutto.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did that this last week. And it was nice to see from me being an owner of Julio.
Robbie Anderson also went smaller, less portions. El Prosciutto.
What was he had like two touchdowns too, I think?
Two touchdowns. Let me pull it up.
Smaller size wide receiver, not really explosive with speed, but just a good route runner, and he's been stepping up for the Jets.
6 for 146 and two touchdowns. Jeez. He has a touchdown in his last five games, and he had two this last week.
Must start. And your flex.
Or wide receiver too.
Okay. Well, we have some other things that we wanted to talk about today. Let's dive into the quarterback world.
Real quick, I think we should touch on what to do. If you're like me, you're wanting. I have clinched the playoffs in our league, but I need to win this game handily and another guy to lose for me to get a first round bye. Mm-hmm. That first round bye is humongo.
Right.
So, what you should potentially do is pick up Seth Roberts. We'll talk about this later, but Amari Cooper is also on the fritz with a bump to the brain. Prayers and thoughts with you, Amari Cooper. But yeah, Seth Roberts and Cordarrelle Patterson are almost exclusively on waivers. You can pick them up, and they will be 1 and 2 with those two out.
Seth Roberts. To choose one. Go.
Seth Roberts.
Why?
Had more snaps last week than Cordarrelle Patterson once those two were out. If you had Crabtree, you probably lost. I had Crabtree, I lost.
I just like Roberts in general. I think he's a better wide receiver. He can play slot and play outside.
Cordarrelle can take the top off.
Yes.
Big play guy, but
home run hitter, where if you need some consistency and some reception love in a PPR, I think Seth Roberts is the way to go.
And they play the Giants on Sunday. Sans, their wonderful cornerback name, Janoris Jenkins.
Janori. Jory Jenkins.
Jory Wilson. I played for the Giants. Hey, what else is going on? Sad news also for the Giants.
Did you see the interview with Eli today?
Sad.
Fighting back some tears.
Yeah, man. Grown man, athletic.
So Eli is now getting benched. What does this mean? Is this the end of an era for him and the Giants? Is Geno Smith the answer long term? Probably not, but he's the guy.
He's playing this week. So what's that mean for the rest of your Giants?
So I have Evan Engram, and
who has been kind of quiet the last 2 weeks.
Been kind of quiet. So I'm
not kind of. He's been quiet the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he had one reception. He had a couple big drop passes, and obviously the athletic ability and talent is there, and I think he's a big part of the offense. I think the wide receiving core is going to take the bulk of the hit here.
Sterling Shepard. I mean, the
Shepard is
the wide receiving core has taken the bulk of the hits already this season.
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard, I would say, gets a downgrade. I would put a question mark on him.
Yeah.
If you have other options, I might go with other options this week. But he is by far the best receiver in that offense. So,
no doubt. I'm gonna stick with Evan Engram for now. And
so Eli changes the face of those wide receivers. Tell me about another quarterback that may change the face of a franchise.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
So obviously we've talked about it all year. We are Niner fans, and you know, we've been suffering through this season, and we finally are at this point where Jimmy's in. They took their time. We were patient. They were patient. And let's stick to fantasy football here. Jimmy G's on the waiver in almost every league.
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit earlier about what do you do if you're really lacking in the quarterback position. Is this a guy that you can confidently look at going into Chicago, hometown where he grew up, first start for the Niners? With that team, the depleted team in offense and weapons, or we were talking about a guy like Blake Bortles, you know? And if you're in a similar situation, is Jimmy someone worth considering?
Here's the hard part with Jimmy Garoppolo. His sample size was minuscule, microscopic. He came in for one series.
And we're going to the Super Bowl next year.
And threw a touchdown. Now, you brought up a good point, and I'm going to let you talk about that real quick. What did you see when you watched the replay on that Jimmy Garoppolo touchdown?
A little pocket presence that was Brady-esque.
He stood there for 1, 2, 3 seconds.
Jimmy's been chomping at the bit for 4 years. He's been in the system with Belichick. He knows good quarterbacking. And what I saw, and this is, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but an offensive line that's obviously beat up, I think the guy can make plays when plays aren't there to make. I know Shanahan doesn't like that, but if he's able to scramble, he's able to get out of some pressure and extend plays, you know, I like him. I do like him.
Yeah, so here's what I will say. I think he's worth a little bit of your fab. That stuff is white hot gold right now because you need that going into the playoffs. But you may throw $1, $2 on him if you are in hurt or in need of some quarterback help. Potentially, you have a Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
as I do. Who do you want? Gabbert, Jimmy G.
Gabbert's, yeah. I think you look at matchups. Maybe you want to see something with Jimmy. Maybe put him on your bench this week.
Yeah, I don't know that I start him this week. That Chicago's defense is, I don't even know if it's underrated anymore. It's a solid defense.
They're legitimate, and they're playing at home. So now this next guy, Jory, I don't want to talk about him because I still think that a lot of people aren't aware of it. And there's some people in our league that might take this and run with it. But let's go ahead and talk about him. Someone was throwing 50-yard darts the other night, and it was before the game. Do you know who this person was?
Baron Dodgers.
No.
Who?
His brother, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers' brother he doesn't talk to.
Correct.
He was on Eliminate.
This came out today. Mike McCarthy says he's been knocking it out of the park with his rehab. I mean, he had surgery 6 weeks ago. Jory, you had mentioned that the NFL just allowed up to two players to return from the IR right now. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, I read an article. I'm not even 100% sure what that means. Can they pluck, if he's ready right now, can they pluck him off of IR and say, "Hey, you're good to go. Let's run it." They won last week.
Right.
And they looked great against the Steelers. Against the Steelers. Right?
They played the Steelers. Yeah, no, they lost. I mean, Antonio Brown.
Oh, no. They did lose against the Steelers.
No, but Huntley had an okay
game. Huntley had a decent game. Excuse me. I sound like a buffoon right now.
No, yeah. It was a good game. They lost. But he threw about 40 passes pregame. The longs around 50 yards. And he looked pretty good to me.
So they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home this week, and then they go to Cleveland, and then they're week 15, they're in Carolina. I think those first two are very winnable games, and of course, any game is winnable with Aaron Rodgers under center.
So,
all that to be said, if he's available in your league, which he probably is, he's available in 60% of leagues right now.
If you can afford to do it, grab him and just monitor the Packers as a team, because they're 5-6. They still need a win the next two games.
Yes.
And if they're not in the playoff picture, they're not going to rush them and bring them back. But they're even talking about, in this article I'm reading here, courtesy of the Washington Post,
that he could... Washington.
How about that? He could maybe come back this week and start practicing. So I'm eager to wake up tomorrow and see what they have. But they also need a win now to have a playoff chance. Aaron Rodgers, if he's out there and you could do it, go win yourself a championship.
Yeah, he could be the deciding factor.
Let's talk a little bit more about... I'm going to give you a couple players here. One of them being Kareem Hunt.
Bow, bow, bow.
Kareem Hunt owners, is it panic time for Kareem Hunt? Owners? I mean, this last week, 11 carries, 17 yards, 3.6 points, the lowest amount of points in performance, fantasy purposes, all year. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, he's... The thing that scares me is he's not getting carries. He had 11 carries against the Giants. He had 18 for 73, which is fine. But he hasn't had a touchdown since week 3. So he started off red hot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I going to sit him? I had a conversation this week with a guy in our league. The guy that has him picked Samaje Perine off waivers just in time. And Samaje had over 20 carries this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the question was, Sean, do you start Samaje or Kareem Hunt going forward?
That's an... Yeah.
And it's, you look at those first three games from Kareem Hunt, and those left a sweet, sweet nectar taste in your mouth.
Oh, yeah. Now you're toying with emotions.
Mm-hmm.
If you're connected to Kareem, do you start him? Do you avoid it? No, it depends on your situation. Hopefully you're not in that situation. But who would you start this week if you had to choose between Perine and Kareem?
I would probably go with Kareem Hunt, tentatively. They play Thursday night against the Cowboys. These Thursday night games have been the equivalent of playing in London or Mexico because they've just been weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to be weird good for Perine or weird bad, but I think it's going to be weird. And then Kareem Hunt has the Jets. They're in New York against the Jets. Then they're playing at home against Oakland, which is, I think, you must start for both of those. But then they get the Chargers week 15 at home, and then 16 Miami. So the Chargers have been stout.
Last 4 weeks for Kareem, 22 for 46, 9 for 37, 18 for 73, and 11 for 17, no touchdowns.
No touchdowns.
So something you got to monitor, but you know, if you've invested this whole entire year in him, maybe you ride it out. But
can I tell you something in another league that I'm in? When Le'Veon Bell was on bye, one team traded another team Le'Veon Bell for Kareem Hunt straight up.
Wow. That really paid off for whoever got Le'Veon.
Big time. Yeah. Big time.
There you go. How about another name for you and all those who have Jay Ajayi? We were high on him. I'll admit it. They traded for him. Of course they traded for him because they want him to get the bulk of the carries and be the guy in Philly. No, Clement is the guy, and Blunt looked okay.
Let me say something, and I don't want to be one to pat ourselves on the back, but we came up with a decision, conclusion, what say you, that he would be getting less carries but better opportunities with those carries, and we have been absolutely right. He's been getting far fewer carries and doing great with some opportunities. He can have big plays, which he has had. In week 11 against the Cowboys, he went 7. Wow, that's not very many carries for 91 yards. So he broke a big one there, and then he had 5 carries for 26 yards. One reception in each of those games. I'm a little concerned if I have Jay Ajayi.
I think that I'm looking.
We didn't expect him to get as few carries as right. He has got,
and he had. And I think maybe that was, you know, we saw that big touchdown run in his first game, still learning the playbook, and we're thinking there he is. It's just a matter of time. But what concerns me in the Philadelphia backfield, even though they're one of the best teams in the league right now, is they're a committee, and we're getting in the playoffs. I mean, LeGarrette Blount had 15 carries last game, and 13 the game before.
Mm-hmm. Corey Clement maybe looks to be the
in
most talented back in that backfield.
Right. So I'm not high on Ajayi. If you have to start him, great. But, I mean, they're playing a nice little defensive front in Seattle this week. I mean, I would avoid him.
Not as nice. Not as nice as it used to be.
Well, they're front seven, right?
Yeah, yeah, you know their front seven's good. But they're not going to be able to stack the box with that young second-year quarterback.
With Wentz slinging it. Yeah. Playoff defenses.
We missed a big one.
Which one is it? Oh, your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're Dak lacking. Attack. The Dak lack. Because he has been lackluster these past 2 weeks. He has lost me two weeks in a row for certain. If you have Dak Prescott, you have got to surf the waiver wire. Week 11 against Philadelphia. And here's what I will say. These have been two very good defenses. They played Philadelphia and the Chargers, which are stout defenses. He went 145 with 3 interceptions and, a fumble. Rough against Philly. And then 179, 2 interceptions, and just not good interceptions against the Chargers. Sit him, you don't drop him, keep him on your bench because he has had too many games of being a successful quarterback, a high-end quarterback one. That offensive line is beat up. It's still beat up. So you hold him and you hope for the best, but like me, I've surfed the waiver wire. I have a couple waiver claims in. And
Cowboys, they function well, when they have Zeke and they have the offensive line. And right now the offensive line's a little banged up. So passing and running for them, I think you could say, monitor their offensive line. I mean, is Tyron Smith coming back?
Tyron Smith was back. So this is the big thing that I was hoping for this past week, is that Tyron Smith's back.
Okay.
They played against Joey Bosa in that tough, tough pass rush. So I picked up Blake Bortles. He's playing against Indianapolis at home this week. And I'm streaming him. You check your waiver wire and see what streamable options you have.
Yeah.
But I cannot feel confident starting Dak until he shows me something without Ezekiel Elliott.
No doubt. Defense. And I'm going to talk about a team that I really like right now. If they're still available, I think that you should pick them up. I think that they've been underrated the entire season. And I am speaking of the Los Angeles Home Depot Center Superchargers defense.
They just ate Dak Prescott and the unsuper Cowboys alive, as we just spoke of.
Yeah, no. They've been solid with their pass rush. Their defensive backs have tightened up coverage a little bit. They've had some monster weeks, and they're creating a lot of turnovers. And their schedule is the Cleveland Browns, Washington, and then at Kansas City, where I would have told you 3 weeks ago that's not a nice matchup, but...
3 weeks ago, you would not have touched any defense playing KC.
Never. So
but that 3 weeks have passed, and
That's who I'm digging for playoffs if they're still out there.
I'm not mad at that. Here now is the time if you're in the playoffs or you're hoping to be, here's where you can mix and match defenses. I like the Chicago Bears this week if they're playing the Niners at home in Chicago. And that Jimmy G talk makes me a little bit concerned. I would have preferred if I'm a Chicago fan to see Beathard in the backfield mm-hmm. or under center. But they also have week 16 Cleveland at home. And I don't know if you've been watching the Browns this year, but they've been less than stellar. What I've been doing is mixing and matching the Steelers and the Bengals. If you have the freedom and opportunity to do so, pick up a few defenses, as many as you can hold. Probably two. If you get more than two, that's really putting a lot of pressure on the rest of your team. But, I mean, if you have the flexibility and freedom to do so and your bench is deep enough, mix and match those defenses and play matchups, because that defenses and kickers can win you a fantasy football championship, bragging rights over your friends, money, fame, glory, trophies, fame, glory, bragging rights over your friends.
There you have it. We like the Chargers. We like the Bears the rest of the way. If they're out there and you need a defense, go get them. We also have some fantasy advice questions that came in from a couple buddies. This from Drew in Berkeley. And he's got a little predicament with his quarterback situation and wondering, should he stick with Case Keenum or look to pick up Jameis Winston, or is there better waiver options? Well, Drew in Berkeley, that's a great question. And I'm sticking with Case Keenum. And there's some other options that might be out there. And there's Winston who's coming back from his shoulder injury. But let's not forget that Jameis Winston did not go out with a bang in his two previous starts, where he had two interceptions and a fumble against Carolina in week 8 and only 6 or 7 yards passing before he got hurt late in the first half against New Orleans. So I'm not too high on that personally. And Mr. Keenum has not been a slouch. Teddy Bridgewater's back.
That team right now is running on all cylinders, and they have the weapons.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the last
Thielen and Diggs, and
they're gelling. They're a playoff contender. They're fighting for a top seed.
You would think after they lost, I wanted to say Jerick McKinnon. Who's the old
Dalvin
rook?
Cook?
Dalvin yeah. Cook. Oh man. Oh, I'm
Dalvin
pretty bummed.
And the Chipmunks.
There you go, Dalvin. The last 4 weeks. Can I give you this?
Yeah.
Case is against Detroit. In Detroit, 282 yards, 2 touchdowns. Against the Rams, 280 and a touchdown. Against in Washington, 304 yards, 4 touchdowns. And at Cleveland, 288, 2 touchdowns.
So almost 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Ride
I'm
that.
Sorry. Yeah.
Ride that.
Hey, Drew in Berkeley, stick with Keenum.
Yep, absolutely.
Another question. Two receivers look to be a mess in this league. Three slots are available. And I'm assuming he's referring to one of the two I'm going to read you. This is a standard league. Joy, I'm going to read you some receiver names. This person wants to start three of them.
Mm-hmm.
We have Chris Hogan, who's returning from an injury.
Yeah.
Dontrell Inman. Paul Richardson in Seattle. Martavis Bryant. Josh Gordon, who's been hitting the news lately and making a big return. You're choosing three this week. Who are you going with?
I think Drew has to win this game to get into the playoffs. I play Chris Hogan if he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I play Martavis Bryant mm-hmm. if Juju does not play.
Mm-hmm.
And, I almost hate to say it, but I roll the dice with Josh Gordon.
Absolutely.
He's off the sauce and Absolutely. Ready to dance.
The Browns have nothing to lose. I mean, Corey Coleman has been doing a lot of big things, but I look at standard league and I also look at red zone capability. And with Hogan, we've talked about it earlier in the year, that is Tom Brady's red zone friend. Martavis Bryant with Juju, yes. I mean, he's the big, tall, athletic receiver. You'll see Roethlisberger take a look his way if Brown gets double teamed in the red zone. And Josh Gordon, he's a big play receiver as well. So I like those three as well, Jor. I agree with you.
Swing for the fences. Now, at least two of those come with a caveat. What do you do if Juju plays? Do you start Martavis or Paul Richardson or Dontrell Inman? If he had to choose another one of those. You like Martavis regardless.
I like Martavis because of...
If Juju plays, I would start Paul Richardson over Martavis.
I'm more of a high ceiling guy with standard leagues, so I look at touchdown potential. So, I mean, that's just my perspective on it. I'm more risk-reward. And I think if you're going to choose one of those, you know, if you're going to go with those three guys, you're hopefully going to get one or two touchdowns of the day.
There you have it. Hopefully that helps, Drew.
All right, Jor, I'm going to run some other guys by you while we're on this topic. Some folks that we went off our league, but I'm sure this is relevant for others listening. Flex positions, you got to start one of the two, okay? Teddy Ginn Jr., they're playing Carolina at home.
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel Sanders...
At Miami.
Who are you taking in that?
That's a tough one. Ted Ginn Jr. has been the quintessential boom or bust. And Emmanuel Sanders, the Denver Broncos offense is, how do you say in France?
Acquit. Not so good.
Yeah, not good. I quit. The French have been known to quit at wars.
Mm. I quit on Emmanuel. I quit on the Broncos. They stink. They're American. I hate them. I hate the freedom, democracy. Did you guys hear that? That's some good advice right there.
So, gosh, I flip-flopped. I'm going to go with Ginn.
You just convinced me. You're like scared me out of Emmanuel. But
yeah, Emmanuel. Whoever's under quarterback.
It's just not good times with Denver, and their season's lost. Their quarterback is a mess. Emmanuel Sanders is going to get targets, but I mean the guy has not exceeded 20 yards in the last couple games, and I would normally say that I like that matchup against Miami, who's been pretty soft against the pass. But again, let's hit home runs. The playoffs are here. Teddy Ginn's a home run hitter.
A good quarterback, a good offense. Throw in Ginn.
I have another good one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Woodhead.
Yes.
Playing Detroit at home.
Hmm.
Over Rexford Burkhead. Playing Buffalo at Buffalo. Flex, you have to choose one.
Rex had a couple touchdowns last week, didn't he?
Rex has been balling.
Well, he balled last week. The week before, he had a fumble. And then, how do they say in San Francisco Giants territory? Grab some pine meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, take a seat. I would start Danny Woodhead. I still have a very hard time deciding who to play in the Patriots' backfield. I would say Rex Burkhead is a 1A or 1B or whatever that might be. But I think... this game has potential to be a shootout with Detroit. And Danny Woodhead, they're not handing him the ball and saying, hey, fight for some yards between the tackles. He's getting receptions. He may be their number one receiver this week. So if you're in a PPR or a half PPR, I would start Woodhead in this matchup against Detroit. In a standard league, I'd start Rex Burkhead.
I'm going to go with the risk-reward here. I'm going to go with Burkhead. Mm-hmm. I know last week he was tied for the lead in snaps with Deion Lewis in 28 snaps. He is playing a Bills defense that is seeded the third most fantasy points to opposing backfields this year. I think Woodhead is a guy who's purely PPR appeal. And I think Rex Burkhead is a combination of both in this next game. Let's not forget that Mr. Alex Collins for Baltimore was very impressive, and I think he's your first, second down back with Woodhead complimenting. So,
what happens if they're down by 14? Woodhead becomes the first, second, and third.
Yeah, well,
that's what I'm saying. Game script. Anyway,
it's a win-win if you can start both of them. But I mean, that's a good one to come.
Yeah, Raz says Burkhead. Regardless, I say Woodhead PPR, half PPR.
How about this one? J.D. McKissic Seattle Seahawks and their messed up backfield, but he looks pretty quick, scat back. Zay Jones playing against New England in that pass defense. Who are you going with?
Well, Zay Jones had a touchdown last week, and he's been talking himself way, 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 way up. I had him early on in the year. He didn't do a lot. Very talented rookie. I think he's going to get better throughout the season. That's a tough one, man. He had 3 receptions for 33 yards and a touchdown last week in Kansas City, and then he was in Los Angeles against the Chargers. He had 4 for 68 the week prior. But that game script, I do not see the Seattle Seahawks hanging in there with Philadelphia, and J.D. McKissic is the pass-catching back in that backfield. So for the same reason I would start Woodhead in a PPR, half PPR, I would start J.D. McKissic in this game. I think he'll get more receptions than Zay Jones in the yards. I would say it's...
I agree. I think incredible. They're going to be down early, and they're going to need to play catch-up. So I do like McKissic this week. Not taken away from Zay Jones. He got 10 targets last week, but Charles Clay's coming back to fruition with them as well. He had a couple of touchdown passes dropped. He was their target leader, and he's now fully healthy. I agree. I'm going with McKiss this against Philly.
What is McKiss kissing?
I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that.
I like it.
I have one more. Sterling Shepard, Jay Ajayi against Seattle. You know, Sterling Shepard without Eli Manning.
With Geno Smith.
Yes. Who are you going with?
Oh, man. I hate to say it, but I'm going to go with Sterling Shepard with a new quarterback. There's a huge question mark there, but he is by far the best wide receiver in that offense. Jay Ajayi in that Eagles backfield. I think LeGarrette Blount's going to get a lot of carries in this game. I think they're going to get up early. I think they're going to stay up. I think they're going to beat Seattle up and down the field. So I see Ajayi getting his typical 8 carries. If he breaks a big one, good for him.
I agree 110%. And you just got to hope that Oakland and the New York Giants is a sloppy, high-scoring game where everyone's getting some love. I'm going to talk about a couple players that... that we can just decide to let go of Jor.
No.
And one of those players is a gentleman that we didn't even bring up once, part of the New England backfield. And at the beginning of the year, we thought that this man would be a big part of the offense.
Gillis Lee.
No. Even worse.
No.
James White. Safe to drop him. Let him go.
Bon voyage, James.
Deion Lewis. The Burke, we just talked about reasons why you should let this man go. Jory, there's another guy I'm going to let you talk about because you've been connected to him.
Ay, Dios mío. This man's name is Theo. Theo Riddick. No! He's owned in 64% of leagues, and let's just say he sucks.
2 catches in his past 2 games. Goodbye, Theo.
He's gone. No. Who else? Not numero uno.
Everyone, I'm saying it's safe to drop numero uno unless we see a comeback that's this week with Aaron Rodgers. Jordy Nelson has been god-awful.
No!
He's been terrible. And it's time to drop Jordy. And I'm sorry if you own him and you're hoping for the best, but...
You should sit, Jordy, with hopes of Aaron Rodgers coming back.
Jordy, in 5 games, Nelson has had a combined score of 9 fantasy points in standard leagues.
No! Oh, something is smelling. Smelvin, Kelvin, Benjamin, he's been harmed. He's been hurt. You don't know when he's going to come back. No! You can drop him.
Austin Hooper, tight end, Atlanta. We always thought Hooper was the guy, in addition to Mohamed Sanu, until Julio decided to wake up and Sanu became a quarterback.
Throwing the ball, as quarterbacks do. You can drop Austin Hooper?
There's better tight ends out there, and I think you can drop him now. And there'll be more reason as to why you can drop him later on.
Better tight ends? There has to be someone in Florida who's better than him.
Are you thinking of Cameron Brate?
No!
Yeah, you could drop him too.
Cameron Brate.
I or Renthal James Howard.
O.J. Howard is now catching passes. Winston's back, and Cameron Brate's gonna be in trouble.
And those are the folks that you can drop confidently based on Jor and I's perspective.
I think you can hang on to Jordy with the hopes of Aaron Rodgers coming back.
That's right.
They don't win the next two games. Bon voyage, Jordy.
So, do you want to just quickly run down the last week here?
You can hit it.
Scores?
Yeah.
And all that fun stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Minnesota Lions, Turkey Day. Minnesota taking care of Bears. That is a vicious turkey. And Case Keenum was vicious this day. 30-23, Vikings take care of business. The Chargers took down the Cowboys.
Adam Thielen hit his very good floor.
Thielen's the man.
Yeah.
And the Chargers are for real. I think they could take the AFC West, actually.
Well, the AFC West is not
that good.
What we thought they were.
Not even close. 28-6, the Chargers and Phillip Rivers threw for three touchdowns and 434 yards. Phillip, I like him.
He's stout.
If he's available.
One of his receivers he's been throwing to a lot.
Ooh, Keenan.
Allen. Mm. Keen the Toolman Taylor. Keen Allen.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make any sense. Keenan Allen. Will he continue to do what he's been doing the last 2 weeks?
Yes.
No. Really?
Oh, okay. Well, no. He's
the last 2 weeks.
Nutso.
Yeah.
But is he someone to be excited about starting every week? Absolutely.
Yep.
The Redskins beat the Giants in what was a very boring nightcap to Turkey Day. I couldn't tell if it was the tryptophan or if it was just terrible football.
Terrible football.
Thank you.
That was a crappy game.
Terrible game, 20-10. Redskins took care of biz. The Falcons handled the Bucks. Julio Jones was Julio Jones.
Julio acted a Fulio.
And Sanu made the greatest play of his entire season, throwing it to Julio. Mixon and the Bengals beat the Brownies.
Say that again? Who won the Bengals?
Mixon. Dude. Joseph. And if you've been waiting patiently, I think this is the one guy where I think we kind of had a foreshadowing of what his year would look like. It was going to take time. Marvin Lewis is a very strict...
Stubborn.
Stubborn is the word. Manager, game manager with running backs. And I think they've now realized changing the offensive coordinator helped. Joe Mixon's the guy. And he could be pretty nice the rest of the year.
Well, hold on, Raz. They played the Cleveland Browns, whose defense is one of the worst. But wait, is it?
Okay, I was hoping you'd catch that.
Yes, no, the Cleveland Browns defense is not as bad as you might think. Their record shows that they're a terrible team, which is true.
Number four against the run.
Yeah, so he went 23 for 114 and a touchdown, and he looked good.
The Tennessee Titans in a barn burner with the Colts that no one probably watched. But Titans pulled it off. They're 7-4. They're still in playoff contention.
You excited about Mariota?
No.
Me neither.
I'm not at all. And Derrick Henry had 13 carries for 79 yards as well in this game. And Corey Davis, man, I'm just waiting for him. I'm waiting patiently. I'm going to wait one more week.
You're not going to start him?
I'm starting him against the Texans.
This week you're going to start him?
Yeah, I'm at flex.
Ooh, Texans, so you're not waiting anymore.
One more week.
One,
and I got to see it, or else I'm running out of time. But
see it to believe it.
Had a crush on him since the draft. But every way, shape, and form.
Romance.
A bromance.
A dude-mance.
A phoner.
Fantasy arousal.
That's right. I had one, and I still got it.
You're poking my leg, man.
The Buffalo Bills took care of the Chiefs. The Buffalo Bills took care of the Chiefs.
One more time.
The B Bills
took care of the F Chiefs because they've been failing.
That's right.
Do you know who else did? The Giants. Whoa.
Ooh. Chiefs. Jeez.
They need to give the ball to Kareem more.
nice or something, or put Mahomes in there. That's been a discussion too. Waiver wire.
They're not going to put him in.
You're right. 16-10. Tyrod Taylor threw for 183 yards and a touchdown. LeSean McCoy, 22 for 49.
Zilch. Are you worried about Shady?
No, I mean you can't be. I mean,
no, you cannot.
You got to start him if you have him. Charles Clay, 4 for 60 and a couple. Do you have a couple drop touchdown passes this game?
I believe so.
So I view that as a positive going forward, but...
those are red zone targets, and he just got back. So if Charles Clay's available, pick him up.
Love it. Patriots took care of the Dolphins. Deion Lewis, 15 for 112. Was pretty impressive. Brandon Cooks, 6 for 83 and a touchdown. Tom Brady is just being Tom Brady, throwing 4 tuglies.
Ugly touchdowns.
That's right.
They were pretty, though.
They were. They're always pretty. Panthers 25-27 in a barn burner over the Jets. Robbie Anderson was the man.
Robbery? Like he was stealing fantasy points?
Yeah. Yeah. And he was.
We said it earlier, but he's a must start. If you got him, roll him out. And if he's available for whatever reason, pick him up and start him.
Yep. McCown, 307 yards and 3 touchdowns in the loss to the Panthers.
You can stream McCown.
You definitely can. Eagles 31-3 over the Bears. Pretty straightforward. Zach Ertz was pretty nasty.
You know who else was nasty in the other actual literal way? Jordan Howard.
Ooh.
Along with the rest of the Bears. Should someone sit Jordan Howard?
No, they got the Niners coming to town.
Oh, well, I thought the Niners have a good run defense. Wrong!
Yeah, no. They're going to feed him the ball this next week. I don't know.
He's going to get 36 carries.
It's going to be ridiculous. The Seattle Seahawks took care of the Niners 24-13, but it doesn't matter because Jimmy looked good in 2 plays.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G was there.
What's that G stand for?
Greatness.
Touchdown gangsta. Thug.
I like it. Raiders, Broncos 24-14 in the fight, number 2.
Marshawn, he did pretty well, right?
26 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown. If you have Marshawn, you like to see the bulk carry him out.
Is that going to continue?
No.
You're right.
Rams took care of the Saints in what was an interesting game. Alvin Kamara did his thing on that big touchdown run, 5 for 87 and a touchdown.
Mark Ingram did not.
How about Prince Goffrey?
Woo!
354 yards, 2 touchdowns, 28 of 43.
Wow.
And Cooper Kupp, 8 for 116. His bro.
Cooper Kupp's due a look this next week against the Cardinals. Slammin' Sammy's going to be covered by Slammin' Patrick Peterson.
Speaking of the Cardinals, Blaine Gabbert finally found his home.
In
Arizona.
Oh, cool. Great.
He did okay. He had 33 for 45, 351 yards, and that's Ben Roethlisberger's numbers. Let's rewind the clock. 241 yards, 2 touchdowns to a person that is very dear to our hearts and we'll talk about a little bit later. And Adrian Peterson had 20 carries.
Did he do anything with him?
79 yards, no touchdowns.
Meh.
But they beat the Jags.
Woo.
That was impressive. The Steelers and Antonio Brown took care of the Packers and Jamal Williams.
Lev Bell showed out. Antonio showed out. Big Ben showed out. And Martavis got himself a touchdown.
There you go. Baltimore 23, Texans 16, last night's Monday Night Football game.
DeAndre Hopkins is...
the Ben is
still good. Still really good.
Still really good. And... there you have it. He had 7 for 125. Let's move on to some injury updates, shall we?
Huh. Ouchie. That hurts. Once again, that's our Ouchie That Hurts injury updates of the week. Juju has the QQ. Juju Smith-Schuster is questionable this week. Monitor him. That will affect, I think, him and Martavis Bryant. He becomes the three there behind Lev Bell would be the number 2 receiver in that offense. But monitor him. If he plays, put him in. If he does not, don't. That's how that works.
There you have it. Devontae Freeman, concussed. Should be good to go this week, though.
Yeah.
monitored to be safe, but he should have cleared protocol. He'll probably be listed as questionable. Just check after Wednesday, see how he's doing.
He's a green light. He'll play.
Solid.
Jordan Reed, looking at 5 games, not playing. He didn't practice today, which is Tuesday. They've got a game Thursday against the Cowboys. He won't play. I don't think he'll play. So if you are still hanging on to him as your only tight end option, you're probably not making the playoffs, but look somewhere else. Next one.
Damian Williams, not good. Looks like it was a dislocated shoulder.
Those hurt 6 to 8 weeks,
don't
right?
feel good. They're multiple week injuries, and most likely his fantasy season is done. What does that mean for our boy, Kenyon Drake?
He becomes a firm number 2.
There you go.
Running back.
Damian, sorry to hear it. He's done for the year. Greg Olsen came back.
Came back, played a little, then left.
Then left. Re-aggravated his surgically repaired foot. The good news is he wanted to come back into that game, and they kind of downplayed it. They didn't want to risk anything. He should be fine.
He should play this week, but you've got to monitor him the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to have another surgery on that foot.
And if they're making a playoff push, they're not going to want to, you know, rush anything if they feel.
He can play on it, but after the season, he's going to probably have another surgery.
No doubt.
He's not the only one to have this injury, so.
No doubt. And Amari Cooper, we touched on it earlier, concussed and ank.
Bonked in the head. Take a look. I mean, you never know after the concussion protocol and after these hits and how players take these types of injuries, but. Pick up Seth Roberts or Cordarrelle Patterson, especially if Crabtree's out this week too. So.
And the high ankle sprain. That's usually a couple weeks normally. That's depressing news. We talked about some injuries, and that might impact a lot of people. Let's talk about something that's a little more desirable.
Something you want?
Yeah.
What is desire?
What is desire?
What is desire?
Desire is wanting something.
Wanting someone so badly that it hurts. What is desire?
All right, guys. It's time for our waiver wire desires. Players that are available this week that you can potentially pick up. And my first one, not only is it a potential huge NFL and fantasy football pickup, but also just a feel-good story. Josh Gordon hasn't played football in several years. He has been battling the violent disease of addiction. Raz, I'm not quite sure why you're laughing at that. I believe it's a real thing. You're making me feel a little self-conscious because several members of my family have battled this disease themselves. So that's our commish, Raz the Jerk. Anyway, he's off the sauce. Drugs, all those things. Clean, sober, and he's reinstated by the NFL. And he's available in 60% of your leagues. He did not go all out in B.L. Hamon his last few games in the NFL, but over his career, he has been an absolute stud. And if you follow the internet, www, you can see that he is yoked out of his mind. He's putting the work in, so he'll be back. The Browns say they're going to use him, so pick him up. Available in over 60% of leagues.
We talked about this gentleman earlier out in Pittsburgh. Martavis Bryant in Juju has the QQ next to his name.
Questionable.
So as we discussed earlier, I don't need to get into specifics, but he did have 6 targets against Green Bay. Had a couple end zone targets as well. We like to see that. And Antonio Brown, he's going to do his thing. He's always going to get double teamed. And whoever's opposite of him is always set up nicely. So Martavis Bryant is available in 60% of ESPN leagues, and he's someone to look at. There's another gentleman out in Cleveland. Opposite of potentially Josh Brown this weekend. Josh Gordon. Excuse me. Corey Coleman.
Ooh!
Yeah, who's been coming back and handling biz since his hand injury. 9 catches for 144 yards on 18 targets.
I didn't realize this until just now.
In 2 games.
But I drafted him.
and then you dropped him. Well, he had the hand injury.
Yeah, he had the hand injury. So we got rid of him. So the injury bug bites us all.
Yes, indeed. He's still out there in 67% of ESPN leagues. If you need a flex play and a big play wide receiver.
Yeah, hey, let me say this real quick. If Rod Smith or Alfred Morris are still out there, for the love of God, check waivers and pick them up. I'll say the same thing for Jack Doyle at tight end. Some of these players are still available, and it is absolute buffoonery to me, but take a gander. You never know.
Let's go to the tight end position, and this gentleman who...
The League of Champions podcast is in for a treat right now.
We are in for a tweety bird. That's right. We're in for a treat, and I think anyone who's still listening is really in for a treat, because this next waiver wire desire, folks, is for real, and he's done some things in the last couple weeks that have caught everyone's attention, and he actually stopped by today. And I want to welcome and thank him for being here.
Ricky Seals-Jones has joined us on the podcast. And our commish, the Uno, Eric Charles Rasmussen, has prepared some questions for Ricky.
Ricky, first and foremost, thanks so much for your time. I know you're busy right now and you're in the area. You might have some friends out here. Appreciate you stopping by. I mean, look, you came in as an undrafted free agent for the Cardinals out of Texas A&M, and here you are. You know, you get an opportunity, you take full advantage of it, performing at the highest level. How did you get here?
Eric, do you mind if I translate for Ricky?
Sure.
He said, hard work pays the bills. Do you have another question, Eric? Eric Charles? And we're off the rails. You guys, Ricky Seals-Jones has been handling a gaggle of business for the Arizona Cardinals. We've lost Rez. If you didn't gather, his middle name is Seals.
Ricky Seals.
Blaine Gabbert's been under center with him. Ricky Seals. Jones had 7 catches for 126 yards and 3 touchdowns on 11 targets. That's in the past 2 games. Do you pick him up and start him right away?
I do. Gabbert is locking on to him, and he loves what Seals-Jones can bring as a red zone target. And it's not a fluke. In the last couple of games, he's got 3 tugs. And I love his name. Ricky right. Seals.
There you go. Hey, there you have it. Those are our waiver wire desires of the week. Let me tell you something. Look at kickers and defenses. Stack up who's been doing well in the last 4 weeks. Take a gander, see if the Patriots are available for defenses. Kickers, look for Greg the Leg.
Greg the Leg. I like Robbie Gould against his former team.
The Bears.
That's right. And I believe, Jory, that will wrap up our show. Can't thank everyone enough for tuning in. And we appreciate your time. We appreciate your feedback. Remember to follow us at Twitter, at Raz Jordan League of Champions.
Hey, if you ask questions on the Twitter, we will answer them on this podcast.
That's right. If you want to win your league, tweet us.
Tweet to us.
Thanks again. Talk to you soon.
Adios. All right, guys. League of Champs, we're here. I'm here with your commish, the Uno, the one that made this all happen. Eric Charles Rasmussen, the commish. He won high points. Congrats. Well done. You won. You got to keep $100. You didn't have to give it to anyone. That kind of stinks. The Dookie, which we still haven't got a video from, was K-Dog. Willie, tip of the cap to your last couple videos. We hope that K-Dog brings the fire. K-Dog, you did not show out last week. It's time, my friend. We've got to get into the weeds.
Yeah, we got to get into the playoff picture, guys. And we just skipped everything because this thing is coming down to the wire.
Through the wire. Racist Kanye West wire.
So, let's start with who's in it and potentially in it. Snooze.
Best team of all time.
Snooze is flirting with the 1972 Dolphins of a perfect year, which means he will win out and win everything in the playoffs and win the championship. Or we're seeing a little glimpse of the 2017 Patriots where everything was so great and they lost in the playoffs. Championship, actually, against the New York Giants.
Yeah.
Snooze, which one are you?
Kareem Hunt. Sweet 16, Sean. Hey, Sean's in. First round bye in the future, no matter what happens.
Craig is in and, as of right now, has a first round bye. But if he loses and Jory wins by 16 points...
More than him.
More than Craig, they flip spots. Jory is your second seed and has a first round bye.
So, Craig, if you win, you get your bye. If you lose, lose with more points than I have. And I win. So, I'm in.
So, Craig, Jory, and K-Dog, and Snooze have all clinched. Congrats to you guys. It has been a crazy year.
Now, the big heavyweight Crabtree, Aqib Talib, fight for those last two playoff spots.
I've had Jordan, and I've had Kamalu, and now I have K-Dog this week.
Can I make one? We'll get into this in a minute.
Yeah.
But several of these teams, not only could they potentially make the playoffs, they could also be playing for the Dookie.
Oh, yeah.
Mathematically.
And we have it all down. So, Raz, myself, I'm talking third person, and Kamalu control their own destiny. If I win, Kamalu wins, we secure the last two seeds in the playoff picture. I play K-Dog this week. Kamalu plays Ben. Now, if Jordan wins, Kamalu loses, Jordan is in. Jordan has been dealing with a lot of bad luck. His team's been solid, and he's got the third most highest points in the league. I have the second.
The last 2 weeks, he's had the second most high points.
It's just crazy to me. Yeah. So
and lost.
Yes. And if so Jordan wins, Kamalu loses, Jordan's in. If Jordan wins, Kamalu wins, I lose, it will then come down to a tiebreaker in points. Kamalu will be in because of his record. Jordan and I would then be compared to points in which I'm ahead 15 right now going into this last week. Holy hell.
Whoa.
So, Jordan, it's not over yet, man. And that looks a little wild. So... Who's out? Willie, you're out, man.
Did we talk about Ben? If Ben can get into the playoffs, too.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, let's talk Ben. So, Ben, if Ben wins...
And he plays Kamalu.
And this goes for Mike Sacco, too.
Ben and Kamalu. So, Ben wins. He has to beat Kamalu by 6 points.
So
7 points.
Yes.
Not only does he have to win, but he has to win by 7 points.
Correct. So Ben needs Jordan and Kamalu to lose, and he needs to have the point tiebreaker with Kamalu.
We're gonna start getting a little confusing because there's some more very unlikely scenarios. But
Mike is in the same position. He needs Jordan and Kamalu to lose, and he needs to win the tiebreaker with Kamalu. So Ben and Mike are in the same position.
And Mike has more points than Ben.
Willie
is out. He has secured his spot in the toilet bowl.
When are we going to start hyping this thing up? The most important matchup of the year.
Dun, 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 dun. I mean, now. Stink. Oh, the butler. Big Daddy Butler.
Oh, my gosh.
One of these players will have to wear a tuxedo, probably a little top hat, and...
Serve the entire league, as stated on the WebEx before the year started.
11 other players.
So, who else is playing Willie? PJ. If PJ wins, Boo loses. Boo, you're in the toilet bowl. If PJ wins by 40 more points than Ben.
And Boo wins.
Ben loses. Boo wins. Ben is in the toilet bowl. If Ben wins, Boo wins, Socko loses, and PJ scores 62 points more than Socko, ladies and gentlemen, Socko is in the toilet bowl.
And he would probably exit stage left, as he stated when he was still a part of the WhatsApp and ESPN fantasy app on his phone.
My brain hurts just talking about all that, but that's our... I mean, I could not have wished for a better end to a year of this much emotion, sensitivity, humor in a league that is literally coming down to the last game.
Very much so. And...
and the fact that we have a team that's undefeated blows my mind.
Yep.
And a team that's been averaging about 120 the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That 120 points, does that take you through the playoffs? No.
Kareem Hunt is... I mean, hey.
Silencio, por favor. There's been a top, the uno, Sean, and there's been a bottom, the Dose, number 12, Willie. But everyone else, here we go, boys.
There is no one intriguing matchup anymore. No, everyone's
it doesn't matter.
This is it, dude.
Next, after next Monday, there will be only 8 teams playing for something. 2 teams playing to not become the butler, and 6 other teams playing for thousands of dollars.
Unbelievable. Boys. Unbelievable. And I don't know how else to end it, but just the way we ended it. Guys, good luck. I hope you had fun. I hope you're not as stressed out as some of us may be, but hey, here we are. Thanks for tuning in. Goodbye.
Bye, friends.